Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Welcome back to Radio Islam International. The topic is the life of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, a life of submission and sacrifice. We have Mawlana Muhammad Aswat of Springs, and Mawlana also studied at Darul Ulum Azadville. Welcome Mawlana Muhammad Aswat on the line. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Mawlana?
Alhamdulillah, very well. How are you doing, Mawlana Sahib?
Ji, I'm also well. Jazakallah for asking, and we also say Jazakallah khairan to yourself for taking out your valuable time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, Mawlana.
Jazakumullah khair for having us on your program.
I mean, firstly, the question we want to ask you is, Islam, Christianity, Judaism are referred to as the Abrahamic faiths, referred to as Ibrahim a.s. faith. What is the unique position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted Ibrahim a.s. in this regard, Mawlana?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Mawlana, let me begin by mentioning that first, when it comes to the phrase or the term which is used, Abrahamic religions, it actually refers to religions that are monotheistic as far as their origin and their belief is concerned. And these are religions that trace their common origin to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Or rather, you could say maybe they recognize Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam as the spiritual head of the particular religion itself. Now, when I talk of Abrahamic religions, you know, it is religions like Judaism or like Christianity and definitely Islam and Muslims. You know, when it comes to these type of religions, simply it may mean that all these religions, that is Christianity, or we look at Judaism, Islam, they all come from one spiritual source. When we look at the Christians, they refer to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam as the father in their faith. When it comes to Islam and Muslims, the Quran Sharif uses the term Millat Ibrahim, which is the faith of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, which indicates that as far as Islam is concerned, it sees itself as having practices which are tied to the traditions of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And as far as the Jews are concerned, they claim to be descendants of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and adherents and follow his practices and ideals as far as their link with Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is concerned. But when we look at Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam as a Nabi of Allah, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was a person who gave da'wah towards the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we should believe only in one Allah, and believe in one Allah, and obey and follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we look at Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's life, the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was such that his entire life was sacrificed in spreading this one single message, that you should believe only in one Allah, and we should believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sole creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a controller, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of the entire universe. There have been many, many incidents and debates also in the time of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam with various different people. People who believed in different religions, people who had different belief systems. And with each one of them, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had the same debate. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam came forward with the same da'wah to believe only in one Allah and not to ascribe any partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when it comes to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam as a person, we find that or every religion claims to have a special link with Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Judaism, when it comes to Judaism, it regards itself as a religion of the descendants of Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, who was a grandson of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And the faith of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, the deen of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, was strictly a deen, a religion that spoke about the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the kitabs and in the books also which were revealed to them at that time, scriptures which are revealed to them, all of them speak of the giving da'wat and calling towards one Allah. When it came to Christianity, it began also as a sect of Judaism. And when from there it actually evolved into a different, a separate religion, then we found the Christian church, which was formed also with very distinct beliefs and practices. But later on, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam became the central figure of Christianity, and which is considered by almost all denominations today to be a divine religion. But Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, when it came to his da'wat and his message also was the same, one single message, to believe only in one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to Islam, Islam's rise was in Arabia in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we know that the view of Islam, or rather the belief system of Islam, is strictly on one Allah. And as Muslims, we hold the Quran to be the ultimate authority, as was revealed to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and as was taught to us or elucidated through the teachings and practices of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Islam as a religion, we consider all Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and messengers, all of them from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam right up to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to carry that one same message, the message of Islam being a religion, a monotheistic religion as far as its principles are concerned, that Islam, we believe only in one Allah, and everything that happens in the dunya, in the universe, is solely in the command and control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that because of the different religions, because of their link to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, every person feels that, we are closest to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Every religion feels that we are closest to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And through the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam that tell people, O Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, ma kana Ibrahimu Yahudiya wala Nasraniya walakin kana Hanifan Muslima. That Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was not a Jew, nor was he a Christian, walakin kana Hanifan Muslima. That he was a Muslim. He was a person who submitted to the principles of Islam. He was a person who believed in the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his entire life he lived preaching the unity and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the position of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam as the various religions are concerned. But the closest link of the message of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is in the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the deen of Islam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of it in the Quran Sharif.
Jazakallah, Mawlana Muhammad Asfar, for a detailed explanation. Mawlana, the question that we want to pose to you, that we know there are numerous verses, there are numerous ayats that's mentioned in the Quran with regards to the rank and very high position Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam enjoys, and from what Mawlana Abdullah also explains, few verses he mentioned, and one of the verses that that comes to my mind is Walaqad Atena Ibrahim Rushdahu Min Qablu Wa Kunna Bihi Alimin, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in the Quran, and he enjoys many different titles. The question is, why was Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam given very high rank? And one of the titles that was given to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was the title of Khalilullah. So tell us more regarding this title and the status that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam enjoys, Mawlana.
Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Sharif refers to him as وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarded Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam as Khalilullah, as Khalila, as a friend. Friend translated in English here actually would mean an intimate friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in the English language, really, there's no word which will really that can really do justice to the translation of the word Khalil itself. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam because of his obedience, because of his following of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked at Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and mentioned different aspects of his life. And when we consider the tremendous sacrifice that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made in order to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, based on it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the title of Khalil, as a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we look back at the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was put through many tests in his life. Approximately, it is mentioned in the books of Tafsir that approximately 23 different tests that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had to go through. And in each of these tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam through that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the title of Khalil, meaning the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was the title that he earned, as mentioned also, through tremendous sacrifice. But before Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam actually became prominent in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him to many, many different types of tests. You know, he had to sacrifice in terms of his family, in terms of his son, in terms of his close family. He had to leave his land. And based on his tremendous sacrifices, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave him the title of bin Khalilullah, bin the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when you look at the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again, and we look at the tremendous sacrifice that he put through, based on it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the title Ibrahim Khalilullah.
Jazakallah for that explanation, Mulana. The question now we want to ask you, Mulana, is that in the Quran we have been instructed to follow the path and the way of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So as the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, what is expected from us?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Mulana, the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is a life of submission and sacrifice. That is the path that we as Muslims need to follow, and that is also the life that we learn from Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wasalam. When we look into the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, his was a life of servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was a life of submitting to the will and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without a question. His life was a life of sacrifice, that he put his personal life behind him and he sacrificed for the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything he did was to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was to carry out the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That brings us to another point, which tells us about his obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how he was prepared to go beyond everything which was within his capabilities and his capacity in order to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could be happy with him. Then we also learn from the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam that his was a life of complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in every situation that he faced, he placed his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it came to the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to leave his family behind in Makkah Mukarramah and to go out from there, to leave them in this barren land, in a desert without any food, without any water, he placed his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of him. And when it came to the point where they put him into the fire, at that time also he placed his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we learn these examples from the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, that whatever he did, he put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before him, he put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of him, and he placed his complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And based on that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always took care of him in whatever situation he found himself in. Apart from that, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's determination was to spread the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wherever, in whatever situation he found himself, he gave da'wat. When it came to his father, he gave da'wat to his father. He was a da'i, a person who invited towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With his community, he called towards one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In every situation where he found himself, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was in a position, and he taught us that we will call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every situation that we find ourselves in. In the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in different ways. In one ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, remember Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, wadhkur fil kitabi Ibrahim, and mention in the book Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, innahu kana siddiqan nabiyya. He was a truthful man. He was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The word siddiqa is actually truthfulness, and it is applied to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam alone, who had this quality of truthfulness in him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then refers to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam as ummatan qanita. That Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was an ummah. The other word ummah is actually used in the sense of being a model of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hanifa, he was a person who was upright, a man of pure faith. He was not a person who would associate any partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the word Allah ta'ala then says shakiran li anubi. He was a person who was grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever bounty and blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed on him. So Allah ta'ala says ijtabahu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then guided him to the straight path. There's two words which are used here. One is ijtaba, that is mujtaba, a person who was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was also a guide, a mahdi, in such a way that he was a person who resembled everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him to convey and to command. In another ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, ثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ لِتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. And Allah ta'ala tells Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we reveal to you, Nabi of Allah, that follow the creed, to follow the creed of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And what is this millet or this creed, this way of life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam? That Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was an upright man. He was a man of pure faith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was also asked to follow, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِمَ رُشْدَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَكُنَّا بِهِ عَلِمِينَ. That we gave Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam his guidance from long before. And we had known Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So these are ayats where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the qualities that were given. And these qualities that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam was instructed to follow these qualities as well, to instill these qualities within his life, and also to preach and to teach people these qualities as well. So again, in a nutshell, the qualities of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, we as a ummah must follow. He was an example of servitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was an example of submission to the will and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a perfect example of making sacrifice for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a man who always carried out the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any question, without any hesitation. And he was a man who placed his trust firmly in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. And he knew that if Allah instructed me to do this, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of everything else that is associated to my life. So as Muslims and as people who have this link with the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, it is very, very important for us to follow this example. And by following this example together with it, we follow the beautiful example of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasalam as well.
Jazakallah Mawlana Muhammad Aswad for that detailed explanation. Moving on further, as we know, the incident that is mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَلَمَّا رَأَى الْقَمَرَ بَازِغًا قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي. And then in the next ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا رَأَى الشَّمْسَ بَازِغَةً قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي هَذَا أَكْبَرَ فَلَمَّا أَفَلَتْ قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. This incident is lengthy, but from this we learned that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam looked at the sun, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam looked at the moon and the stars, and he recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He recognized the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how do we go about instilling the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts, Mawlana?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Mawlana, as far as this incident and the people of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is concerned, we know that there were people that used to worship stars because they regarded the stars to be in control of life, death, sustenance, you know, trials, victory, defeat, any other matter in their life. They believe that the motion of the stars affected the system of the universe, and as a result, the stars needed to be pleased with them at all times. So, and based on that, they believe that only through worshipping the stars will the stars be happy with you. So these deep-rooted, incorrect beliefs which were in the hearts of the people at that time could not be removed very, very easily, because this had become ingrained into them. They inherited these from their forefathers and they continued to live with it. They even feared saying anything against their idols because, you know, they feared to incur the wrath of their idols. And they felt that if they would do that, it would annihilate them or destroy them at any moment. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, in this ayat of the Quran teaches us also that what was his method of invitation towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a people who had such deeply rooted incorrect beliefs. And he used a very, very practical method and manner of convincing these people of the truth. You know, he looked at the stars, it appeared at night, and he said, this is my Rabb. When it disappeared, he said that how can something which is temporary be my Rabb? Then he looked at the moon and he said the same thing, that this is temporary as well. The Sayyid Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam negated any kind of divinity from the moon as well. Then he drew their attention towards the sun, which was a body which was even greater than the stars and the moon at that time. And then he said that, no, this is my Rabb, this is the most glorious of it. But then after that, when the sun began to dim and it eventually disappeared, said Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam then exonerated himself from all these kind of false beliefs. You know, that, and said to them, said practically in a beautiful way, that something that rise and set, something that is temporary, something that is here 1 minute, and something that disappears another minute. Such things cannot be our deity. So he used a very practical method of actually calling people towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that also, he invited them to reflect on the greatness of these creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this world such for us as well. That وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ آيَةٌ تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ وَاحِدٌ. That when we look around us, as the poet said it beautifully, that in everything that we find around us, there is a sign to tell us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this world and universe around us such that it is there for reflection. And if we look at it with a clear mind, with an open mind, and we consider each of these creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will bring us only to one conclusion, to the conclusion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. So the lesson we learn from this method of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and which is also very, very important for us, is that wherever we are, in whatever situation we find ourselves in, we need to reflect over the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by reflecting over the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking about it, eventually we will come to the point where we realize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But also, in this ayat also, the manner in which Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam goes about calling towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that he does not just expect them to look at these things, but Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam asked them certain pertinent questions which make them think about that. So in other words, we need to talk and we need to discuss the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every circle, in every situation we find ourselves in. If we will talk more of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask questions to people, children, young people around us, people who don't think in that direction, and by asking these questions, we will make them think about it. So one is to talk about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask such questions which will make people think about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through this, it will create a kind of an environment in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qudrat and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness would become apparent in front of us. And there's a beautiful lesson that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam teaches us, that talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, discuss Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, think about the qudrat, ponder over the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and through that the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come into our hearts.
Gee, that's a very important lesson that we take. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to practice upon that. Now moving on, as we know that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was willing to sacrifice his own life when the king ordered harriquhu wansuru alihatakum in kuntum fa'ilin, that help your Lord by burning Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and throwing him in the fire. And then inna nasa qad jama'u lakum fakshawhum fazadahum imanu wa qalu hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was willing to sacrifice his own life. He was then thrown into the fire. We know the incident with Namrud and how the fire was lit and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was catapulted into that fire. But the question is, what lesson can we learn about placing our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like how Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam placed his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Mawlana?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Mawlana, as far as tawakkul is concerned and placing one's trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, this is actually part of iman. That the stronger belief a person has in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more iman, or the stronger a person's iman is, the stronger a person's tawakkul and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be. The root of tawakkul is obviously reliance, or we can say maybe dependence, that we say that we depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything and we place our reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the reality of tawakkul, and that is that we place all our trust and our reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of both our worldly affairs as well as our deeni affairs. And whatever resources we have, you know, whatever they may be, whatever that is we wish to attain in life, that also is based on tawakkul. So basically tawakkul involves a person's iman, a person's dependence, and a person's action as well. And as banda and servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to be aware of the fact that all matters in this world and the hereafter are in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jalla, and nothing occurs except by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when it comes to attaining one's rozi, when it comes to attaining one's provision itself, it is a form of worship and a form of ibadat. It is part of our completion and perfection of a person's iman. But at the same time, we need to realize within ourselves that only that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined for us, that is what we will get. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of one of the qualities of a believer, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the mu'mineen are such that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned, then they feel fear in their heart. And when the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recited to them, then this actually increases their iman. And they put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another ayat, in Surah Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, "Qul," say, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most gracious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one in whom we believe. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one in whom we place our trust." So you will come to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by actually putting your firm faith and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are many examples like this from the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and even in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith which is mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim Sharif, Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make a dua that Allahumma, that O Allah, I have submitted to you, and O Allah, I believe only in you, and it is only in you that I place my trust, and it is only to you that I turn, O my Allah. So, O Allah, I seek refuge with you through your power, and there is none who is worthy of worship besides you. So, here Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also used to make this dua, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach us that you should place your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything you do. In another hadith, it is mentioned that as far as tawakkul is concerned, if a person has to place his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the manner in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires a person, that is based on his iman and his reliance and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala says he will take care of all your rozi and your sustenance for you. And when it comes to tawakkul, the belief that every person should have in his heart is that only that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willed for me, that is what will happen. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not willed for me, nothing can happen without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which it is mentioned that لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَتَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ, that if you were to trust Allah and rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you should, then لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيْرِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will feed you and sustain you just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feeds and sustains the birds. They have no jobs, they have no profession, but yet they leave their nest with empty bellies in the morning, and when they return to their nest in the evening, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has satisfied them. So from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, we learn these examples of tawakkul and trust. And the incident which is actually comes in front of us was the incident of the fire, when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was being prepared to be catapulted into the fire, when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to me and said, "Is there anything that we can do for you?" Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, "There is nothing that you can do for me. It is whatever, it is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do for me." And based on that trust, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then instructed the fire that قُلْنَا يَا نَرُكُونِ بَرْدَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمٌ, and the fire then became a source of peace and solace for Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the commander, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the control of everything in this universe, and whatever happens, happens through His will and command. If we were to place our trust and reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of everything. And the hadith sharif, which is mentioned also in the khutbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Hajjatul Wada, the Hajjatul Wada khutbah, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions to the effect that a person who would place his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring all his affairs together for him in such a way that the dunya would actually fall to his feet.
yet he would turn his back on it, but the dunya would come to his feet. But if a person has to hanker after this world and not place his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will still get his rosy and sustenance, but Allah ta'ala will scatter that for him. So in every situation, one is required to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, we must tie the camel before trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even in that, we should make sure that whatever it is we do, we believe in our heart that only that which Allah wills will happen. A knife can only cut if Allah wills it to happen. A fire can only burn if Allah wills it to happen. Water can only drown a person if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills it to happen. And if Allah ta'ala wishes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can reverse the effect of anything and everything, because it is Allah who ultimately gives an effect to everything that there is in this dunya universe. So a person who trusts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would actually take care of such a person. And that is a mark of a believer, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a mu'min is that person who places his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala would then provide from him, for him, from sources which are unknown to him, because a person has placed his trust in Allah.
Gee, wonderful. Jazakallah for that explanation. But we would like to ask you, the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam being instructed to slaughter Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam is well known to all of us. What important lessons can we learn from this? And also making our qurbani, how do we go about bringing alive the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Mawlana?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. The answer to this question is very, very simple. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to train us to follow the path of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And as a Nabi of Allah, he was willing to offer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his dearest possession in the form of his son, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah ta'ala did not want Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to sacrifice Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. But Allah ta'ala wanted Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to show his willingness. And the key word is willingness to carry out a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which he did very, very bravely. You know, it is mentioned that, I read this quote somewhere where it says that the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is actually a story of a man's perfection in his freedom from selfishness and animalistic desires. So through this also, a person is able to, you know, acquire higher spiritual levels and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when a person frees himself from anything that would hinder him, or become an obstruction between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through that will bring a person closer. So through this incident of sacrifice, we understand that anything which is becoming an obstruction between us and reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or becomes an obstruction in us fulfilling our duties towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to make sure that we sacrifice those things. So whether it is your wealth, whether it is our jobs, or whether it is rank or power, lust or greed, or spouses or children, it could be anything which may be dear to us, just as Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam was very dear to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So when we make qurbani or when we sacrifice, we keep in mind that in fact we are actually sacrificing that thing which is dearest to us for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we say that, O Allah, whatever is dearest to us in our life, that will not hinder us from us reaching you or even acquiring your pleasure. You know the story of Shibli rahmatullah alayhi, you know, when the discussion of one of his disciples during the course of Hajj, when he asked him the question that, you know, have you slaughtered your qurbani animal during Hajj? And when slaughtering, did you intend to cut off the throat of greed, which is hidden within you? So when you made qurbani, at the time of making qurbani and passing the knife over the throat of the animal, did you also cut off the throat of greed which is hidden in you? You know, by clinging to the reality of taqwa and following an example of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, who was willing to slaughter his son for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the disciple said no. So in that case, Shibli rahmatullahi said to him that you have not even sacrificed your animal. So when actually Allah Ta'ala is not in need of the animal, sacrificial animal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of the blood or even the meat of the animal. Allah Ta'ala wants to see that spirit which comes within us. And that spirit of sacrifice, to sacrifice our lust, our desire, our wealth, our jobs, everything for the sake and purpose of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the most important lesson that we learn from this incident of Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam on the instruction of Allah ta'ala to slaughter his son.
Jazakallah for that explanation. Finally, how should we go about getting the entire family involved in our qurbani, and your closing comments and words of encouragement, Mawlana?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. The most important thing to get the family or to get everybody involved in qurbani is to understand what is the purpose of qurbani. If you can understand that qurbani, in the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah had given him two alternatives: either follow the cry of his heart or to submit to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his creator. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam chose to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So qurbani therefore is not a monetary ibadat, but it's not just a duty that is discharged, you know, in some distant poor country or something, but it is a personal experience. It is an intimate experience. It is an emotional encounter, you know, an intimate occurrence made real by the oozing of blood. And if we can understand the real purpose for qurbani, you know, sitting with the families through talim and talking about this experience of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, that how he personally had to experience all of this, and this emotional encounter, intimate encounter that he had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that inshallah will make it possible for him and for all the families to get together. And as Maulana also mentioned earlier, that you know, to get the family involved in qurbani, it is important that we take them together to select animals for qurbani, you know, search for the right animals, know what are the regulations as far as the animals are concerned, know the purpose of it. How did Rasulullah s.a.w. do it? What was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's instruction? That he slaughtered himself, he got his daughter Fatima radiallahu ta'ala and had to slaughter as well, and family members also got involved in it. So together with encouragement and understanding what is the purpose and the philosophy behind qurbani, and in trying to get involved in it as well, that the purpose of this ibadah is actually to get our hands messed, to get involved in everything. And that is, you know, from selecting the animals, paying for the animals, choosing the correct ones, on a day of Eid, getting involved in it. Another aspect of getting family involved in it is distribution of meat after that as well. What are the guidelines as far as Sharia is concerned, as far as distribution is concerned? You know, so to get them involved in every aspect of it, through this, inshallah, we'll be able to create and generate that ideal culture and climate as far as qurbani is concerned.
Jazakallah Mawlana Muhammad Aswad. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq and ability to practice upon the advices and the important lessons that were mentioned from the life of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. What were some of the lessons that we take? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to bring into our lives. That brings us to the end of our discussion. The topic was the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, a life of submission and sacrifice. Jazakallah for tuning to Radio Islam. From myself, Suhaib Lasanya, and my engineer, till next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.